I thank you for tuning in to these online messages, and I hope and pray that you've been blessed by them. And it is a labor of love for Phil and I. But my sermon message, or whatever you want to call it, message, preacher, sermon, I don't know, information, information only message, I don't know. But I titled my message this week, Are You Soaked in the Holy Spirit? Wow, that's an interesting title. Are you spirit soaked? And my question to all of us is, what depletes you and I? Well, we live in a culture that is highly stressed. I don't think anybody would disagree with me about that. And since COVID, many things have changed in our life, including things in our own little church here at Bethel. And people suffer more from anxiety than any recent time in the past. Prices are up, salaries have stayed the same, houses, whether rental or purchasing, has become unaffordable for a lot of people. People are suffering from loss, grief, anxiety from overworking, lack of financial stability, and worries about the future. But I think most of all, we lack an emotional or spiritual anchor. That's Jesus. We got to be soaked and washed in the blood of Christ. I think many retirees, and most of us at Bethel or connected to Bethel, think that we can escape the rat race. But now a lot of them, and I don't know about our congregation because we seem to be fairly blessed, but many people suffer from depression for lack of direction, purpose, and meaning, and identity. Those who have lost relatives during COVID still lament over their loved one dying, or even with misplaced guilt over what they believe they could have done differently. That's always a challenge. I know when my wife, Bonnie, was diagnosed with lung cancer, and she was with hospice for a long time, and she finally departed and went home to be with the Lord. But there was a lot of guilt involved in that, as I had to give her morphine and so forth. And even my father-in-law said to me one day, are you sure you're not killing her with that stuff that you're giving her? No. Hospice says we just make them comfortable. Well, we always think, well, what could we have done differently? That was my point. It doesn't matter that it's nearly 5 years later, we think, and the pandemic has left its mark on the world, in our own world. But in addition, everyone seems to be fighting division. Dissension flourishes while we do not, even though within our own denomination. While dynamics of protest continue to be fueled by hatred, bias, and anger, people in general are running on empty. They are depleted. They are exhausted. Now, I know I'm painting with a broad brush, but I think you know what I mean. People in general that don't have the Lord in their heart securely and firmly, you don't know where to turn. So why not? Even our churches, and I'm talking again with the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ, or all the churches in Tallahassee, or all the churches, have forgotten what fuels their hope, their joy, their passion. And they cannot afford to be forgotten. Others may forget them and forgive them. Maybe that's what we need to do. But the hope is not in their life. My question for all of us is, what fuels us believers in Christ? Church people, do you feel as though you've been depleted in your life, those within the sound of my voice, or are you flourishing and knowing your tank is always full? I hope and pray that you are filled with the grace and love of the Holy Spirit. But I would also ask, what keeps you burning and passionate about life and filled with authenticity, truth, identity, and the meaning in your everyday living? Or maybe not. If you're a Christian and didn't answer Jesus, you've identified the problem. Jesus has got to be at the center of everything that you do, spiritually. He is not here physically, we know that, but he needs to be in your heart, and you need to be able to communicate your heart with your brain and your brain to your heart. Longest 12 inches in the world is what I've been told. And I kind of agree that because I'm a little hard-headed. Whereas an overwhelming percentage of people in our culture today and in our churches today are searching for some kind of spirituality in their life. An anchor, if you would, in which they can build their identity, meaning, and purpose. Now, many churches have largely folded in on themselves with infighting, apathy, fear, connecting to its own communities. Those that have often set up a me versus them mentality, caring for their own but shutting their minds and the doors to others. Why? Well, is it fear? And what strokes fear? Hear this, church, is a lack of Jesus, a lack of relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because it is a personal relationship. You have no fear. You don't need any fear. But Jesus is always, when he was approached, and he would say to him, fear not, I am with you. And he also would say over and over again, don't be afraid. Where Jesus is, fear cannot reside. Oh yeah, now we have physical emotions and so forth that creep in, but when Jesus is at the heart of your life and you have a relationship with him, the antithesis of fear is when your heart is filled to the brim with the love of Christ. Grace, security, hope. Huh? You hear me talking about the blessed hope. I don't know where I would be mentality-wise and everything else-wise if I didn't have the blessed hope into my life. And when I look into some of the things, yeah, the world will creep in and give you some, yeah, you'd be something to be afraid of. But when I realize that I have the blessed hope in my life, fear burns away. So a relationship with Jesus in which you know and feel assured each and every day of his unconditional love for you and the grace that he bestows upon you in your life will guarantee that you will feel full with the wellness and joy no matter what you're going through. Faith in Christ is the oil that fills your soul and lights up your own darkest times because you know that your identity lies in being a beloved child of the living God through Christ. So, I said all that to say this. The more you soak or marinate your heart and soul in the Holy Spirit, Christ, the more passion and energy, resilience and direction you'll find in your life. So, here's the other question. Are you Spirit-soaked? Well, I love that little hymn. Are you washed in the blood? Well, the blood of Christ. Salvation, if you would. So what does it mean, preacher, to be Spirit-soaked? Well, we've been spending a lot of weeks talking about how to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then in today's scripture, Jesus yet tells us another parable of what it means to be in true and intimate relationship with him. That's the key. Not religion, relationship with Christ. And he uses this metaphor of a bridegroom and a wedding. I think it's probably one of the most popular and prevalent metaphors of all scripture for God is relationship with us. In fact, if you read the entire book, what we call the Song of Songs, it's a beautiful metaphor and a poem that helps people realize how they are and how they feel connected to God. If you remember a few years ago, I asked Tina and Travis to read Song of Psalms from the pulpit. I don't know, but it was a blessing to all of us. Because our relationship with God is not to be distant, not to be mechanical, not to be emotionally empty, and merely tradition-based, or even to go right down to an impersonal one, if that's a word, impersonal. Well, our relationship with God says that Jesus is one of the emotional and spiritual intimacies that we have, which is filled with joy and abundance. But we also must remain spirit-soaked, spiritually, being patient and ready, knowing that our groom will always return for us to bring us into God's feast of abundant life. That's what Jesus said when he came. I came to bring you life and how you can have it more abundantly. So, as I said for many times, and my heart goes out to people that don't know the Lord, but all of us that do are ready to meet our Savior. And we must be ready to open our hearts to Him and reveal ourselves to Him and let Him change us from the inside out, infusing us with His peace and light up our lives with love. And our faith is our only fuel. You know, these bodies kind of wear out, you know, and we get tired. And so if we just trust in Christ, He will do the rest for us. Jesus lets us know that He is the bridegroom. He is God's Son. He is the one who cares for us. He sacrificed on the cross on our behalf and has the ability to unlock every door for us in our lives and also in our future. Yeah, those of us who believe in Christ have a bright future, no doubt about it, when we allow Him to take up residence in our heart. He will bring you and me that supernatural light into the darkness, even back in the recesses of our heart, and will warm us and remind us of who we are. That's the amazing potential that we have in our life through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit and the blessings of Jesus and His Word. But, you know what we need to do? All we need to do is this. Be ready. Be faithful. Look for Him. Talking about the watchman. Pray to Him. And believe in Him. I think sometimes in our lives we get so sidetracked and bogged down with sadness and grief that we forget that Jesus has the power to lift us up. Sort of like a salve, you know, that will anoint us, and He heals us, and He comforts us, and He has the power to provide the guidance and direction in our life, to reinstill us with a sense of peace that passes all understanding, and security. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, is that wonderful little hymn that we think about and we sing all the time. I know things sometimes around us feel chaotic. I know that. So what do we need to do? We need to keep our spiritual tanks full of faith. That's why we come together on church, is to encourage one another in the faith, trust, and love of Jesus. We need to stay spirit-soaked, stoked for the party. Not soaked, but stoked for the party. And God will provide in our lives the blessings that we need and the assurance of the future. Yeah, but we can't hide our head in the little bushel basket or anything else. We need to be out here proclaiming the gospel. Jesus knew how hard it'd be for His disciples, and we're modern-day disciples, to go without Him physically present, holding His hand. He knew that this time would be approaching soon. That's what He told John, to write this down, John. These are the things that are about ready to happen when He would need to leave them. He knew He needed them to stay faithful and strong so that the mission of the gospel would not die. With Him would go on. And He challenged us to spread the gospel so that God's love could be the light of the world, and all in Him who live in Him need to listen. How can we listen to Him today? Well, the Holy Spirit teaches us and assures us of the blessed assurance that we have. But also, God found it important that the wisdom and the scriptures that we read, the Bible, be read. And it's here to encourage us and to show others the way. Reading the Bible, staying together, praying. He knew that all of us in this physical body were going to have a need to listen to Him. And we weren't here with Him when He was here in the physical realm. So He provided a way for us to listen. So today, we need to hear Jesus' message. The reason we call it the gospel is the good news. There's so much bad news on television, newspaper, everyone else. We need to be encouraged with the good news to stay faithful, no matter what happens. Jesus promised us an advocate in the form of the Holy Spirit, who would guide us with his own light, the holy light of God, if you would, and who would keep us steady, passionate, mission-focused, and the identity rich in our life that we need to overcome these challenging times. No matter how difficult life can be, and life is difficult, life is complicated, life's a challenge, and no matter how bad things get, we can keep our faith in our hearts when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and infuse us with hope and security. We'll get through it. We, the church, need to relearn how to pray. We spent an awful lot of time in the Holy Spirit school about this. And when Jesus and his disciples spent his last night in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He asked them to pray with him. Even for Jesus, prayer kept him focused on God, secure in his relationship with the Father, and secure in knowing what he had to do. He did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. So whenever things got rough during the years of his ministry, Jesus would get away somewhere and spend time in prayer. You hear me say that sometimes about the Lord's Prayer, and when the disciples were walking with him and they knew he went away, and he told them, yeah, I'm God, you know that, but I'm like you guys. I get tired, I get hungry, and then I need to go and talk to the Father. What a blessing that we have direct access to God through Christ. So rather as a church or your own life, I challenge us today to spend each morning in prayer, 10 minutes or more. Spend some quiet time with God. I know some of you tell me that, oh, well, I sit out on the back porch with my coffee in the morning, and I hear the birds chirping and different things, and that's a wonderful way to spend time in God, because maybe we can't verbalize the prayer, but our spirits connect with God, and he lets us know that he is with us, and he knows what's on your mind and spirit. Now, the god of this world, we call him Satan, and that's who he is, can play tricks on your mind, but he can't read your mind. God knows you inside and out, from the beginning of your life until now. So allow his spirit to comfort you, envelope you with his warmth and love, and send you out into the day knowing your foundation is rooted in him. I just said it before I came out here to the, well, I call it the office or my man cave, whatever you want to call it. I opened the door and I said, okay, world, here comes Ralphie. Don't mess with me. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb and I'm coming in. I know I got to deal with this stuff in this world today. Jesus told me that, but he's got the answer. He's got the peace. He's got the joy. And I have it too because he gave it to me because I asked for it. Amen. That's as simple as that. Prayer builds faith. Faith builds passion. Jesus provides the light of Christ. So I close with the same question I asked in the beginning. Are you spirit-soaked? Well, in the last 15, 16 weeks or whatever that we spent in Holy Spirit school, we talked a lot about being baptized, baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit would give us the utterance. It's a verbal voice that sometimes we use in our prayer, but God provided us a way through his Spirit that we don't necessarily have to come up in our mind with a whole bunch of English words, I guess, for lack of a better term. So when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, some people call it speaking in an unknown language or whatever, but a voice to us is just saying a whole bunch of English words or Spanish, whatever language you use, but when you connect with God's Spirit, because Satan has a way to play tricks on your mind, you need a special way to talk to God. And that's what being baptized in the Holy Spirit means. And he allows us because we are verbal people. God created the heavens and the earth, and he spoke, and he said, let there be light. So verbal words are powerful. But when Satan is messing with our mind, we need to have a prayer language that is only between you and God. Now, the world, Satan, messes with our intellect, there's no doubt about that. But our spirit connects to God through unknown words to God. So, we give you that card and you can find it online, some of those little prayers that we did. But what I wanted to wait for and to let you be soaked in the spirit a little bit, and not to coerce you or tell you that you need to do, but give you your own ability to do that. I talked a lot about babies babbling to mama. The mama knows what the baby, the mama knows. So the spoken word is important, but it doesn't have to be in English, because Satan understands English, but he does not understand spirit language that God has given to us. Now, I have my own, and I'm not going to share with you that you got to use mine, but I just want to give you something to think about. And just when you don't know what to pray for, just sort of say, ah, bakaha, bakakaha, ooh, bakakaha, ooh, and amazingly enough, Jesus knows. And it's just like when you learn to speak English as a baby. It'll grow, and you'll come up with your own personal prayer language that is so powerful you can't even imagine. That's my hope and prayer for you. In Yeshua's name, hear the good news. Hope and pray you're having a good day.